you were in the early service this morning, what a time we had. I tell you, it was a blessing. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to just share with you about 5 minutes for those who are going to be in the last presentation here. In a few minutes, I'll just have everybody bow their head and we'll get ready. We're going to have one other song in a few minutes and a presentation. So for all those who, I'm not going to be long. We're probably, 10 or 12 minutes to 12 already. I want to just share with you briefly something here in a few minutes, and then we're going to have something I believe a real blessing to you. Let me say, first of all, thank you for all of those who were part of the drama this year, and for all those who worked beginning in January getting the set ready, and it was well worth it. Somewhere in the neighborhood, over 1,200 people came, and not counting all the cast and everything that was here, I think in the four nights we had close to 1,200 people in coming to see the program this year. And God really blessed. It was awesome. Thank you so much for all your hard work, all those who were part of it. And it just really was a blessing from heaven. Now, that number that came actually in the building doesn't count. Everybody watched it over the internet. And so we're thankful for those who watched. And I know there were some because we've got reports back of folk in other places watching it. And again, welcome to all our friends on the internet this morning and those here in the building as well. But let me also say thank you for yesterday morning. Miss Lynetta and those who helped her did a fantastic job. And Brother Donnie and all those who helped him cook, got everything ready. We had probably the biggest crowd we've had on the Easter egg hunt in quite a few years now. It was just a great time. And Lynetta wanted me to thank all those who helped and brought things. And then let you know next year we're going to have new eggs. Amen. And so when they put them on sale, probably tomorrow, this afternoon, go buy up some more. Amen. And then you'll Lord have them. And then I had a very kind thank you note from Brother Danny McLamb thanking you for praying for him. I'll share that more in detail later, but I'm glad Brother Danny's doing good. You keep him in your prayers. I want to read this account here for you. And so glad you're here. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning and for the early service this morning. Notice, if you will, please, in Matthew chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Now, this morning, if you were in the morning service, you say he's going to preach the same message. Well, I might say the same thing, but it won't be the same message. This morning, when we got thinking about the fact that when they came to the tomb, it was empty. Those who came and saw him, they saw the linens there where he had laid. They saw the napkin folded. And we talked about the significance of that this morning, the morning service. And we got to thinking about the fact that it was empty. And the word empty. Now, this morning, I want you to notice this. Notice what he said there in that passage of Scripture in verse number 6. He is not here. He is risen. And if you mark your Bible, underline that one word, he's risen. Praise God. Did you know that's not been said about anybody else? He's risen. Thank God he's alive. He suffered and bled and died, but he's risen. He's risen. Thank the Lord. He did resurrect some himself. He called Lazarus out of the grave. And he healed and he resurrected the little child and all those things. But nobody ever said he's risen. He came out of that grave. Thank God for that. That's a one-time event to purchase our redemption for all eternity. Thank God for that. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross. But look at that little word risen. This morning I pointed out to you the same that I've done several times. And that is the fact that it's the number 5. There are 5 letters in the word risen, which means grace. And thank God by the grace of God he came. By the grace of God, he suffered and bled and died for us that we might have everlasting life. But I want to look at those 5 letters just real quick now and to be real brief. But I want you to look at them and think with me about the fact that he's risen. Number 1, he's risen. That means the ransom was accepted. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. And there's a TV program on, I've never seen it yet, but it's called Ransom, and I know what it's about. It's about somebody who abducts somebody and holds them hostage, and you have to pay a certain amount to get them out. Well, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and they fell in the sin. And since that time, man has been held in the clutches of sin. Sin's a great enemy that will not let people go. And the wages of sin is death. And from Adam, even all the way down through, death has reigned. Kings have died. Rich men have died. Poor men have died. Black men have died. White men have... Everybody dies because death reigned until this day. Until this day when the Lord Jesus Christ came to give His life a ransom. He came to die that we might die. And what happened was the ransom was accepted. That empty tomb and the fact that He's risen means that the ransom was accepted. He paid my sin debt, and thank God I'm saved. Not because of anything I've ever done, but because He died for me. And my dear friend, you can have it. You can have it today. But not only does it mean that my ransom was accepted, it means my resurrection is assured. Thank God. I don't have any idea where I'm going to be buried. I think I'll be buried in Roanoke Rapids if the Lord doesn't come back. Our little daughter Christy was buried there. She's been in heaven for a long time now. But that's probably, we got some grave sites there. I don't know. I might want you to bury me back out in the backyard somewhere or over here. But anyhow, the thing is this. I know one thing, it doesn't matter where you put this body at, this ain't no grave going to hold this body down, amen? Because the resurrection is assured. Why? He said this, because I live, ye shall live also. Every saint of God who's, or you put mama, daddy, husband, wife in a grave somewhere, Bible said absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're with Him now. But I promise you one thing, death can't hold them. That grave can't hold them. One of these days, they'll have a brand new body. They're coming out of that grave. Do you know that for sure this morning? Do you know that your ransom's been paid? Do you know that your resurrection is assured? And thank God, listen, my rejoicing's already started. Praise God. I'm not heaven yet, but I'm feeling pretty good today, amen. This morning in the morning service, all that singing this morning, I felt just about that close. The other night, when Jana comes out of here and Christ is on the cross and they're taking Him off the cross, and she gets to singing His life for mine. The first night I was sitting right there, they put that light on her, and boy, it just lit up all around me. She went to singing that, and then Juanita and Cabot joined in with her. Praise God, I felt like I one more step, and I'd been in heaven, praise God. I was that close to it. But you know, I'm glad that when He saved me, Bible said He brought my feet and brought me up out of a horrible rock, out of a horrible pit, and He set my feet on a solid rock. He put a new song in my heart. I'm glad the rejoicing's already started. I ain't waiting to get to heaven to praise God for saving me. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to start rejoicing over the fact my sins are gone and heaven is my home. The rejoicing's already started. But thank God for that. He's risen out of the grave. But then notice the letter I. Notice the letter. First thing as I was thinking about this yesterday, as I was praying, looking forward to this service this morning, I thought about the fact that my intercessor is alive. The Bible said He ever lived to make intercession for us. He's alive. He's not here. He's risen. And the Bible said He's right now ascended, and He's right at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. I'm glad He's praying for me. He's praying for you. Your intercessor lives. Did you know He loves you and He prays for you? There's some of you in this, all the folk in this building that people pray for. We try to pray for you, pray for our family, pray for everybody every night. But you know what? He ever lives to make intercession for us. I'm talking about 24/7, every day of the year. He's praying, making intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession. And thank God for that. I'm glad He knows my name. Amen. I remember Regina's daddy's name was Jesse Lee Vivert. And not long after me and Regina got dating, he said, you call me Kit. And I called him Kit. And I heard him witness somebody one time. And he was talking to him anyhow. And the guy said something about Mr. Vivert. He said, don't call me Mr. Vivert. Call me Kit. That's what Jesus calls me. I'm glad He knows your name. He even knows your nickname, praise God. Amen. If your name's Bo, there's a lot of you in this building. There's Bo. I mean, half of Johnson County responds when you say, hey, Bo. You know what? He knows your name. He knows all of your name. He knows all of your name. And my intercessor's living. Thank God He's risen. But not only that, notice, if you will, the letter S in this. I want to thank the Lord that the Scripture was fulfilled. The Bible said The disciples didn't even believe it when he came out of the grave. And they told him, they said afterward he remembered that he'd said he would rise. And that's the Lord speaking. But all the scripture was fulfilled in regard to his death. In the book of Psalms 22, it talks about how he was going to be brutally treated. In the book of Isaiah, 700 years before he was ever born, it says that he was going to be wounded for our transgression. Chastisement, our peace was upon him. All those scriptures. And thank God the scriptures were fulfilled in that risen. And not only that, I noticed this in regard to that. And thank God the sacrifice has been completed. I'm glad, my dear friend, he gave his life a ransom for me. Notice the letter E, if you will, please. I'll say this to you. The entrance to heaven is now wide open. That grave, that stone was rolled away from that grave, but it didn't open up to let him out. He's already out. And I appreciate what we do in the drama, and it visualizes it for us. But if you study the Word of God closely, they didn't open the grave, let him out. He's already out. They opened the grave, let them see he wasn't there. My dear friend, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ died. And in that opening, not only was that open, but the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent. It tore from the top to the bottom. Now, I don't know anything about the details of it. I've studied the Old Testament. But they said the construction of that veil was such that you could have put a team of mule, a horses on either side of it, and you could not tear it. I mean, it was that strong. And yet when Jesus died, the Bible said it was rent from the top to the bottom. And inside of that place was the Holy of Holies. Only the priest went in there once a year. But when he died, that was open, and the place, the veil was rent. And my dear friend, you can come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help. The entrance to heaven was made possible to us because he's risen. Thank God for that. You can go to him in prayer. You can go to him in salvation. You don't have to go through the Pope or nobody else. You don't have to go through the preacher or nobody else. Every boy and every girl in here can touch heaven. Praise God. I don't know if Brian Nim's in here, and he told me the other night during the drama that Bryce got down on the pew, got on his knees at the pew, I told him he's getting a hold of heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord might not hear my prayer, but he'll hear that little fellow's prayer. And all these kids praying, I tell you, their heart's tending. They look in the Lord. He hears our prayer. My dear friend, I want to tell you something. The entrance to heaven in prayer was open. But I'll tell you something else. Not only does he remind me of the entrance that he opened, but it reminded me of his exalted position. He was beat. He was bleeding. He was rejected and mocked. But the Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's exalted today. He is ever, ever exalted. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you will bow before him. I'm glad you can bow now and receive him as Savior. Glad you can bow now and worship him. But one of these days, every knee will bow, every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, even Satan himself. Now notice, if you will, the last letter, and folks, I'm fixing to be through, the letter N. N. Oh, listen, I wrote down two or three things when I thought about the letter N. There's no more need for sacrifice. Did you know historically, after Christ died, the Jews have never offered another lamb in sacrifice? You know, when you hear of Christ being sacrificed here, if you go through the Bible, you don't find another lamb being offered. Because he's the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. There's no need for another sacrifice. There's no other way to heaven. There's no need for that anymore. And thank God that that's completed and it's finished. Can I say this to you? He'll never be crucified again. He'll never be crucified again. And then the last thing, I thought about this. He's risen. He's risen. And you know what he did? The first person actually to see him was a woman. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. Her life had been a wreck. I mean, she was just full of demons, a wicked woman, just harassed, and her life was miserable. But then she met the Master, and he saved her and gave her everlasting life. She's the first one to get to see him when he came out of that grave. But I'm glad she's not the only one who met him. I've never met him personally, but I've met him in when I bowed and gave my heart to him. And ever since I gave my heart to him, he's been a very present help in a time of need. He's always near. He's always right there at me. I think about the Apostle Peter, and when the Bible says that he said, Lord, bid me come unto you. And he got on out and walked on the sea, but he began to sink. And he cried and said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said the Lord reached his hand. He was just that close to him. You know how close he is to you tonight? You know how near he is? Just a prayer away. He's just a prayer away. He's right there at you. He's near to you. He's near to help you, to comfort you, bless you. But he's very near to save you right now. He's near to save. Don't you forget this. And I love that part where Simon Peter says to the old judge, I'll tell you one thing. You might be in control now, but one of these days you will bow. Every knee will bow. But I'm telling you right now, you can give your heart to Jesus. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Bow your heads in prayer. We're going to have a word of prayer. And while we're praying this morning, our folks are getting ready for the last song this morning. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as Savior and Lord? If you do, then this morning I know you want to worship Him and magnify Him. And I want you to do that. We've had a great time around here through the drama. This year, I guess I've worshiped more than any other rest of time. All day long, I've had those songs in my mind, those scenes in my mind for 2 weeks now. It's just really blessed me. And I'm not the only one. A lot of people like that. But you know, the last night, Brother Gary and the part he had, and when he's give the crowd a choice. Do they want Barabbas, a wicked, convicted murderer? Or they want Jesus? They cried and said, give us Barabbas. And then God moved on Brother Gary's heart the last night. And he looked at that man Barabbas, and he said, I don't remember exactly all he said, but he said, sir, today you receive mercy. But you don't receive mercy from me, and you're not receiving mercy from this crowd. But that man right there, Jesus, you're receiving mercy for him. He's going to die, and you're going to get to live. That's exactly what he did for me, exactly what he did for you. I want to ask you a question. First of all, are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, would you give your heart to the Lord here in the building, in the media audience? The Bible said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call on Him right now and be saved. I wish I could be saved for every one of you. I wish for every person that's out of the will of God, every person that's never been saved, that lives a life of from one tragedy to another, I wish you could experience and feel the joy and the peace that God's put in my heart for just a brief moment. It'd make you want heaven. I wish I could, but I can't save you. I can't change you, but He can. And He said, I love you and I'll die for you. He's no respecter of person. What He done for one, He'll do for the other. If you're not saved right there, here in the building, in the media audience, will you call on Him? Will you pray in something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. God, you gave your son. Jesus, you died for me. I believe you paid my sin debt. I believe you were buried, you rose again. Lord, you're risen today. Come in my heart, forgive all of my sin and save me right now. Give me everlasting life. My dear friend, if you'll pray that prayer right now, believe it with all your heart, I believe He'll save you. And I sure would love to know it. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed in this building, and those in the radio audience, we'd love for you to contact us, the internet audience, please contact us if you receive Christ today. But if you're here in the building this morning, you say, Brother Billy, for the first time, I believe with all my heart He is risen. And I know I need a Savior. And this morning I want to ask Him to save me. And I've already prayed that prayer. And I need to be saved. And I believe God saved me this morning. Would you raise your hands as a testimony in this building this morning? Boys and girls, men and women, God bless you this morning. Amen. Love you. Thank God for you being here. Let me say to you, this is worship month. And I'm going to tell you, I want us to leave here this morning worshiping Him and magnifying Him.